There was a particular movie that, you're not going to believe it, but many, many Christians were able to relate to this movie, especially Christians that have gone through a born-again experience. It's the movie, which, again, it wasn't a movie that looked like it was going anyplace. It didn't really have much of a budget, but amazingly, it became a hit. It became a movie that a lot of people were able to connect with, especially with Christians. And the movie is called The Matrix. The Matrix. Okay. Now, let me ask you this. Who has never seen The Matrix? Okay. It is a powerful story because it truly helps us to understand that there is a different world out there. So here is the plot. Just give you a little of it. Neo, this hacker, this person who is well into computer skills, was able to discover that something was not right in his real world, because in his real world, everyone was experiencing paradise. Everything was just right. No, there was no crime. You know, food was there. Everything looked perfectly. That, you know, people were living like in a wonderful world, a world of paradise. Now, we know that paradise is something that's tied in our hearts. We ourselves have something in our soul that one day we're looking for a paradise, because we were made to be in paradise. We were created in the Garden of Eden. There's something about us finding paradise in which we can experience this amazing joy, the presence of God, things coming together where no sin is affecting our lives in any way. We have that, and many times in life we do experience paradise. Something there that sits us, and we sit there and our soul is connected, and we go, wow, this is so perfect, this is so right. So paradise is wired in us. So here he got this movie where suddenly he finds that the place he lives in is not the truth. He finds that there's another story behind the story he's in. What he did is he found out reality, that the real story, his real truth, the truth of the story, that basically what was it about? It was humans were feeding a computer that was putting together this false understanding of humanity. They needed the people to feel good about themselves. So what they do is they gave them this false sense of humanity, this paradise. In reality, it was feeding this computer. And so then Neo was given a choice. Do you want the red pill or the blue pill? The red pill is the truth. You're actually going to see this world as it is, in the midst of all its goodness, in the midst of all the things that look so well, and you're going to find the truth. Or you're just going to go ahead and live in this false sense of, you know, that everything is okay. He says, I want to know the truth. And he did. He ate the red pill, and suddenly he sees the world for what it is. Now, Paul is trying to describe that to us. Paul, in chapter 8, is helping us understand there are two different types of worlds. For those people that have lived in the world of sin, grew up in the world of sin, they realize this world is very significantly different than the kingdom of God, because we can't see it. People can come up to us and tell us about Jesus Christ, tell us about the gospel, about the blood of Christ, all those things. They can explain it to us, but we just can't see it. We can't understand it, because I couldn't understand it. I remember when I was growing up as a heathen, people would talk about Jesus all the time, the blood of Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ, everything, and I would sit there and just nod with them, and I was in a whole different world. Something has to happen. Something has to change. I had to take the red pill. So Paul is describing this contrast. He says, we know what the world of sin is like. We know what the mind of sin is like. It's not a good place. It's filled with death. And he describes this. He says, but we are now in a different world. We're in the kingdom of God. And if you notice, when Jesus preached throughout his teachings, he always talks about the kingdom of God. He was revealing to the people around them, this is how the kingdom of God operates. This is the true kingdom. This is the real kingdom. What you're experiencing out there right now is not good. It's filled with sin. There's all kinds of bad things happening. Wrong government, you know, a bad immorality and all that. But he says, there is a kingdom that I want you to become a part of it, and guess who is the king? I am. So Paul is trying to help us to understand that contrast, and Jesus made it very clear. He says, you have to take, pardon the phrase, you have to take the red pill. Because if you don't take the red pill, you will never see the kingdom of God. John, Jesus made it very clearly. Jesus was confronted with Nicodemus saying, hey, how do I know the way? And Jesus said it very clearly. Truly, truly, anytime you hear Jesus say truly, truly, okay, that's an absolute. We don't sit over there and gloss over it. We have to sit back and take good attention to what he's saying. God is trying to reveal us a very, very, very important truth. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's why the Matrix was so powerful for many Christians. Because for those who have now seen the kingdom of God, who has experienced this world filled with sin, immorality, hurt, and pain, and death, now God has given us this wonderful connection to the kingdom of God. We are now experiencing it. I remember the first time as God was entering me into that kingdom, suddenly I'm going, oh my gosh, the Bible makes sense. I want to read this thing. Every word that I start reading about the Bible is actually literally something in which I was taken in. It was good. It was wonderful. I was able to understand it. When I heard the good news of Jesus Christ, it came together. Suddenly, I was in a different world, the kingdom of God. I start understanding what the church was. I start understanding all these crazy Christian terms that they use. It all came together. Jesus said it very clearly, unless you take that red pill, you're not going to see the kingdom of God. So we're birthed into the kingdom. And what the kingdom provides us is the very thing that the outside, the sin, the kingdom of the world, the kingdom of sin could not provide us, and that was joy and purpose. See, that's the one thing that the kingdom of the world is looking for. They're striving. They're searching with everything in their heart and everything in their soul. They're looking for paradise. They're looking for joy. They're looking for purpose in life. Those are the questions that people ask time and time and again. Those are the questions that philosophers and great academic minds try to answer and give us those answers. That answer is given to us as we step into the kingdom of God, that we find joy and purpose, the very paradise, the very thing that we've been searching for happens within the kingdom of God. And we receive it, we experience it, and we experience it on a daily basis. Joy and purpose. That's what it was. But sometimes what happens, we allow for that joy and purpose, that sense of joy and that sense of purpose to be taken away from us. We step ourselves, we take a step back into this kingdom over here. And we find ourselves living again some of those sinful things that robs us of that joy, robs us of the purpose we have for our lives. And sin is always meant to do one thing. Always. We've got to be so clear on it. One thing it meant to do is to destroy you and bring you to death. It's never there to bless you. It's there to destroy you. It's there to bring you to a death. And death comes in so many different ways. Not just a literal death, but when we find ourselves sinning, something is happening to our soul. Something's happening to our physical body. It's deteriorating. It's dying in a way, in a rapid way, that God never intended to. Sin destroys. Cancer destroys. It's destroyed. It has one purpose. Destroy, destroy, put you to death. The kingdom of God, as we live a life by the Spirit, what happens is we live a life of freedom, and we're not going to be affected by the immediate causes or the results of sin. Now, definitely, we still do reap some of the effects of sin. But in the kingdom of God, as we follow God and obey God, we don't, again, receive the effects of living a sinful life. That is the freedom we have. We're able to walk in freedom because the Holy Spirit is with us. And so our anchor voice, and I'm on the series on chapter 8, our anchor voice, and it's so important. If you have a pen, write this on. It's something that you should hang on to. Because as you hang on to this promise, as you hang on to it and allow yourself just to repeat it over and over again, and allow yourself to really believe in it, it's the anchor that you're going to have when you find yourself in the midst of great suffering. Times of hardness. So this is the anchor voice, and Paul gives it to us. God gives it to us right in the middle of Romans 8:28. That's how I started the chapter, the Romans series on 8:28. And this is what that verse says. It is a beautiful voice. It is a promise of verse, and we have to hang on to it and remember it and hide it in our hearts. Romans 8:28. And we know for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who have been called according to his purpose. And we know those who love God, all things work together for good. That is a promise we have to hang on to. That is the very gift that God gives us when we're in the midst of suffering, and we know what it's like to suffer. We know what it's like. So, Paul gives us that anchor voice and anchor verse. And so what we do is we find ourselves now in this verse, in these verses, Romans 8, 5 through 9. And let's go ahead and look at these verses. Let's recognize the red pill and the blue pill, okay? I'm going to do a little thing here. Blue pill. So this is the blue pill. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what the nature desires. That's the blue pill. That is the nature in which our sinful nature, our minds are set on those that are sinful. We have no concern about God's love. We have no concern about God's kingdom. We have a concern about our own kingdom, filled with sin, run by sin, and of the world. So that is the blue pill. The red pill, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. We know what the sinful nature is. The sinful nature is this body that's been conditioned because of sin, because of an environment, because of our culture, because of whatever it is, it's conditioned to live sinfully. It desires sinfully. We have this innateness in us that we want to be selfish and prideful. We have that. That's a part of sinfulness. Okay? And when we have that, our mind is set on doing sinful things that want to, again, support my pridefulness, my selfishness, and my sinful desires. But God says, you're out of that. You're in a different kingdom. I've given you the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and what the Holy Spirit does, it helps you to put your mind on what God wants you to do. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The flesh desires certain things. We know what they desire. The Spirit desires something else. And we're going to be looking at that here in a minute. So the mind is something that we love to talk about, don't we? The mind is something that we nurture. It's something that we find ourselves going to school. Some of us have sharp minds. Some of us are struggling with our minds. But the mind is a place where we make decisions, right? Those are decisions based on the knowledge we get. We are looking for the truth. We're looking for the truth. We're trying to understand a particular vocation. Whatever it be, you want to be a doctor, a teacher, whatever vocation, you're looking for information that's going to help you to live out that life, and you're looking for the true ways, the right ways to do that. You don't want to hang on to false things that will give you, again, false understandings or perception how to do something, because that is not good if you're a doctor. That's not good when you're a teacher giving false information. Your mind is always in a process of being fed. And in that mind, you're growing, you're receiving, and you're learning, okay? In the mind, also, we have perceptions. Our perception is this true or this is not true, okay? And those perceptions helps us to be able to understand, okay, I'm going to respond to something that I believe is true, or sometimes I'm responding to something that is a lie. And a lot of times we find ourselves later on going, oh my goodness, I've been living a lie all my life, and look what it has done to me. Our goal has always been is looking for the truth. We want the truth. We want our minds saturated with the truth. Because the truth will help us to make right decisions. That is the mind. So we now go to 6. The mind of the sinful man, this is a blue pill, the mind of the sinful man is death. Death, very clear, death, destruction. Sin leads us to death. But the red pill, the mind controlled by the Spirit, is life and peace. Two contrasts, got the kingdom of the world, got the kingdom of God. The kingdom of the world is death. The kingdom of God is life and peace in the Spirit. That's why I always use the example of zombies. I mean, you always try to find great illustrations, don't you? Something that people can, well, zombies are people that, their minds are crazy. They have one intent. They're sinful. And that those sinful desires just lead them walking around being zombies looking for whatever they are. God says, I'm going to recreate you. I'm going to make you not a zombie. I'm going to make you something new, something powerful, something filled with the Spirit. So we have verse 7. Again, the blue pill. The sinful mind is hostile. No, this is the red pill. I switched this around. Sorry. No, this is the blue pill. Yep, the blue pill. Sorry, got to get this right. Please, you can laugh with me. I love it. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Very important, especially if you want to understand the tulip, which some of you know is a part of Reformation history. That our minds don't want to do something that's pleasing to God, okay? It is controlled by a sinful nature that never, ever, ever pleases God. It is hostile to God. It doesn't submit to God's law. We want nothing to. All we want to do in this world is to fill our desires, whatever it is, our sinful desires that we want. But we have no idea. We don't want any desire to please God, God the Father. Maybe a God. We develop gods in these worlds, the kingdom of the world. We develop little gods that justify the way we live our life. We do that. We could see this. Okay, the God of prosperity, the God of sex. I mean, all those things, we set those things and said, yeah, they give me the right and the excuse to do the things that I want to do sinfully, and they feel good about themselves. God says, nope, the kingdom of God is different, very different. And so the red pill, who are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. He says it very, very clearly. Unless the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit baptizing you and is a part of you, you cannot live a Spirit-filled God. You can't follow God. You won't please God. There's nothing you could pretend to be good. I could be a good moral person, and you may feel good about yourself, because all great religions and all great philosophers sit there and says, live a good life. Live a good life. Okay? But the sinful nature can live a good life, live a good life, thinking that it's right and it's doing right in the world, and somehow that is going to please God. But God says, you can't please me if you don't have the Spirit of God, Christ in you. So, for if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of your body, you will live. So he's trying to tell us Christians, stay in this world. God has put us in this world. And there's times we find ourselves stepping out of this world. We find ourselves letting this world affect us and shape us. And he's reminding us that, guess what? You have the Holy Spirit. Don't forget this. You have the Holy Spirit that's empowering you. You have the Holy Spirit that's changing your mind, transforming your mind. You have this gift that helps remind you that you're always in the kingdom of God. And don't let the kingdom of the world, the sin, sinful mind, or the sinfulness of the world in any way influence you, because it will. That's why we started with Romans 8, 1 and 2. We did that last week. Very important. Paul was trying to help us so much. God was trying to help us so much, because this is what he says. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. The application for that, as Christians who are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are free to live a life without condemnation and guilt. This is one of the biggest things that Christians struggle with, guilt and condemnation. We struggle with that. When we find ourselves doing something wrong, we feel guilt, we allow guilt to cripple us, take us away from God. We don't want to be in the presence of God. With guilt and condemnation, we feel we're condemned and we can't step into the presence of God. God says, no, ask for forgiveness. You are in my presence. My presence is with you. So guilt and condemnation, as you know in your life as well as in my life, it can rob us of the joy and purpose. It can rob us of the fact that we are now still in the presence of God, but we find ourselves hanging on to guilt and condemnation because for some reason we allow for that to happen, and what it does, it pulls us away from God. That's why, you know, I'm going quickly because I'm running out of time, and I forgive myself for this, and I hate this. So what happens is that guilt and condemnation is something we struggle as Christians, and Paul is trying to remind us, don't let it. The crazy thing in the Christian world, as a leader, I could use guilt and condemnation to manipulate you. You need to know that. I can use guilt and condemnation to manipulate you. And many, many, many leaders can. They make you feel guilty about something. They could condemn you and use that condemnation for you doing something wrong. Instead of bringing reconciliation, they use it a way to control you. There's more to that. But it is a way to control people. And in a Christian, we can. In certain Christian circles, we can use guilt and condemnation, because all we do is we make you feel guilty. We make you guilty. We condemn all the terrible things you do. We never make you feel that you're convicted by God and allow for the Holy Spirit to transform you. Another story. But remember, in the Christian church, in our lives, guilt and condemnation can manipulate us to do wrong things. That's why Paul is speaking to us. That's why God is speaking to us. So, for this morning, as Christians who are filled with the Holy Spirit, we are free to live a life. No, shoot. That was my. The Holy Spirit is helping us to the Holy Spirit is helping to transform our sinful mind to a spiritual mind so that we can feel God's pleasure. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives right now, all our life. God is transforming our mind. That sinful life, that sinful world, those things that influenced us and shaped us back in those days, it still can shape us. That's why we need to be in God's Word. That's why the Holy Spirit is reminding us that we're in His presence, because the culture will continue to shape us, will continue to tell us to think and look at things differently. Now, I say that because I'm sorry, I get a little upset with myself when it's late. So, I want you to go with this. The Holy Spirit is helping to transform your sinful mind to a spiritual mind so that we can feel God's pleasure. This is what I want you to know. God wants us to feel His pleasure every day. Every day. God wants us to experience joy and purpose every minute of the day. The kingdom of God does this for us. The Spirit of God that's in us reminds us that we're part of a different kingdom, and that God is pleased when we are in that kingdom, being led by His Spirit, so we can experience His pleasure, His purpose and joy, because the sinful mind, condemnation and guilt, does not want you to experience this. It wants to defeat you. It wants to destroy your lives. So let's end with this. God is good. God is good. He wants us to experience pleasure, His joy, and His purpose. In Jesus' name, let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I thank You for this time. I thank You for the time that You have for us. And I thank You for the Word that God does come through to us. Father, we're in a process of receiving Your Word. That's why we come here on Sunday, to receive Your Word through the beautiful music that's been played, that's been given to us, as we sing those songs, as we hear the stories, as we hear the Word being read and explained. We thank You for this. We pray this in Your Son's name. Amen.